So a reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of the righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Once more, I'm going to ask you to look up at the flags. And I fail to thank the crew that worked and worked and worked the other night to put them up. Bill Dixon knew exactly what he was doing when he did this, and we didn't. But we had a lot of good cheer and good folk and lots of good memories of Bill as we did it. And as I look up at the flags, it reminds me of something that happened the other night. My wife Kim and I were driving down Lexington here, and we were taking the right turn onto Union, and the band was out there practicing, and what caught our eye was a flag was flying and tumbling through the air, and the flagger was underneath it with her hands up, and it came down, and she came down with it, and crash. And she went one way laughing, and the flag went another way, and we started giggling. We started laughing. We started laughing at Union and Lexington, and all the way to Union and Dublin, we were still giggling. It was a fun, happy moment. Let's contrast that with another car ride we were on. It was several years ago, and we were driving through the Mountain Ute Reservation down in the Four Corners of our state. It is one of the driest, arid places in the world. And we're driving down there, and it had been an exceptionally wet winter. And so it was lush, and flowers that usually don't appear were there showing off. It was. And Kim looks out the window as she's driving, and she says, "That's just beautiful. Wow, look how green it is. Look how beautiful it is." Do you hear the difference between a giggling, happy moment and being joyful and blessing the Lord for what the Lord has given us? That's where I'm going today. Because I sat down this week at the beginning of the week and tried to prove that the translations of the Beatitudes that begin with "happy are those" were wrong. I spent 2 days trying to prove that. And I found out in the end that I was wrong. The original Greek can be translated blessed or happy. But as Bible scholar John Stott pointed out, it is seriously misleading to render it happy here. And what Stott is talking about is that happiness is transitory. Happiness comes and goes. To live in a life of God, though, to live in sharing the word of God, to be sharing God's very life, is a blessing, whether we're happy or sad or anywhere in between. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Old Eugene Peterson translates it this way: "Blessed are you when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God. I am certainly not happy when I'm backed into a corner, when my back's against the wall, when I'm at the end of the rope. But as I continue to focus on God, I can at least recognize the joy that God is there with me. I'm certainly not happy, but it is a blessing. Blessed are those who mourn. Even death cannot take away the joy of the Lord." Not even death. We're not happy when people we love and cherish die to this world, but we are blessed. The joy of the Lord is that we are comforted because we know the end of the story. I am, Jesus says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those who believe in me, they die, will live. We know the end of the story. We're not happy about death and mourning, but we are blessed because of the joy of the Lord. Blessed are you who are gentle and humble of heart. Blessed are us when we recognize that we don't have to and we can't do everything or be everything to everybody. The life of this church, the life of our country, the life of our world does not depend on you, doesn't depend on me. We can't be perfect, omniscient, omnipresent. Only God. Only dependence and the blessedness of living in God. Now, our children and our grandchildren, they do depend on us and they do depend on you. But ultimately, they are dependent on number one, the Lord God and Jesus Christ. And it is a joy for me to give up that feeling of being responsible for everything and everyone all the time. As we recognize we are not the bomb, we will recognize that it is God's earth we inherit. It is God's blessings that are given to us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Think about what it means to hunger, to really thirst, to hunger for God, to be deprived of God and desperately need God. Need his nourishment. Think about needing to be in right relationship with God so much that we're wasting away for lack of it. This week, as I read, I tried to find a good definition of righteousness. And I read about social righteousness and theological righteousness, and there was another one. And moral righteousness. And I just kept yawning. None of them made me hunger and thirst for the Almighty. The Almighty. Jesus made us right with God. His death, his resurrection puts us in right relationship with the Almighty God. Right relationship with God gives us joy because we can let go and let God. Righteousness, justice, righteousness, right relationship is the knowledge that we will rise on the last day. Remember Martha last week. I know, Lord, that my brother will rise on the last day. And Jesus says, I'm right here now. Says that to us as well. Right here and now, here I am. And this makes me hunger and thirst to read his word, the Bible. This makes me hunger and thirst to sit down and have a conversation with Jesus. It makes me hunger and thirst for these morsels here at the table where we meet Jesus, where we share communion. Eucharist. I never tire of the definition. The outward sign of the inward reality. I love that. The outward sign of the inward reality that Jesus Christ is with us, that we are in right relationship with God because he is here with us. Now, sometimes I come to the table and I'm just so happy. I'm just happy to be here. I'm just really, this is just great. God bless you. I'm just really happy and joyful. I'm just really giddy about being here. And other times, this is the last place I want to be. Who said amen? Mark. Sometimes I'm grumpy. Hard to believe, right, Kim? Yeah. Sometimes I'm cranky. Sometimes I'm hurting. Sometimes I'm hurting so much I could barely see where I'm going. But I can be joyful that the Lord is with us. I'm joyful that the people of God are joining in Eucharist and communion right here with us together. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed that we can be joyful. I joyful in the Lord, I'm defining merciful as giving somebody a break. Merciful, give yourself a break. Be merciful to those around you. Be merciful to yourself. Look at the world through godly eyes and not your own. Then show mercy and you will receive mercy. Blessed are you when you are pure in heart. Look at creation through God's eyes. Then you will see God's very self. Get back in the car. We're driving through the Ute Mountain Reservation on that beautiful, lush spring day. And with us was a little lady who is a member of our church. And she was busy with religion, always busy. Believe it or not, she went to more committee meetings and more stuff than I did in an average month. It was amazing. She was with us in the ministry on the Ute Mountain Reservation. And Kim looks out the window and says, "Wow, look at God's handiwork. That is so beautiful. It is so green." And she frowned and said, "It'll be brown soon enough." Blessed are you whose heart try to look with godly eyes, for then you will see God all around you. That poor busy lady, "It'll be brown soon enough." It was one of the saddest things I've ever heard in my life. Blessed are you when you work for peace, for you will be called children of God. The first place, where's the first place to look for peace? Right there, right in our hearts. That's the first place to look for peace. The peaceful person is one whose life is in the Lord, trying your hardest, sometimes fighting your natural instincts to go on the attack when being attacked, to hit back when somebody intentionally hurts you. Being a blessed maker of peace means trying to make this world more godly and follow the reign of the Prince of Peace. And I am not happy when somebody lashes out at me. I want to fight back. Oh, how I want to fight back. My instincts are crazy. One time, this big old dog's coming at me, and I'm out walking, and it's got the teeth bared, Instead of making some sense of the thing, like climbing a tree and getting or running as fast as I can, I took off my backpack. I said, "Come on." And that's me all over. When I get backed into a corner, when there's at the end of my rope, I am lashed. I like to lash. I don't like to. I just do. But that's not what we're called to be. We're called to be peacemakers. I am not happy with our world of discontent, of anger and racism and sexism and terrorism, kneeling when you should be standing, standing when you should be kneeling. It makes me angry, and I'm not happy about any of it. But to return punch for punch, hate for hate, bullet for bullet, tweet for tweet, does not live in the joy of the Lord. It is not our calling as children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are you when you work for peace. Because it's not easy, but we are blessed. And we make a blessing then of our little corner of the world. We are blessed to be a blessing in our corner of the world. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. In the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. These flags above our heads this morning represent and are a real hard life reminder that all over the world there are people who are literally being persecuted and insulted and hated and reviled and imprisoned and killed for being followers of Jesus Christ, for taking the word of God into the world. All through the world, people who love Jesus and spread his name and his will are being starved and beaten and stamped down. So we tend to think, that's not so bad for us. We don't have it so bad, and we don't. We really don't. But we are persecuted for our faith. And persecution does come from individuals, and it comes from systems, and it comes from politics, but persecution can also come from circumstance. We are under the thumb of oppression at some time or another in our lives by mental discomfort, by mental challenges, physical challenges, personality challenges, spiritual challenges. Such challenges call us to sometimes stand up, even when we don't want to, we don't think we have the wherewithal to do so. I'm going to tell you about another busy little old lady. Busy, busy, busy. Marge Carpenter. Do you know Marge? Do you know her name? She is the former moderator of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church. Marge is also one of the greatest mission cheerleaders of all times. And in her book, To the Ends of the Earth, she writes about going to the Cameroon in 1989 with a delegation of Presbyterians to help them celebrate the 125th anniversary of the church in the Cameroons. And she said it was just a wonderful week-long experience. It culminated 40,000 people on a Sunday morning dancing and singing together. And Marge writes, as I flew back home, I took a pencil and subtracted 1989 from 125, and I got 1864. And I thought, there's no way we could have started a mission field in 1864. You want to talk about civil unrest? Kneeling or standing don't got nothing on the American Civil War. At the height of brother killing brother, our nation torn apart, our church, Presbyterian church, torn into the Northern Church and the Church of the Confederacy. So Marge gets back home and looks up the minutes of the General Assembly of the Northern Presbyterian Church in 1864 and reads in the Foreign Missions Report, "The world is watching us in our travail to see if we're serious about global mission and the Great Commission." Then they named the three missionaries they sent to the Cameroon and opened the mission field there. Then just to see what was going on, she pulled down the minutes of the 1864 minutes of the Presbyterian Church of the Confederacy. And under the foreign mission report, she read, "Our backs are to the wall, and our homes are being burned, and our churches destroyed. But we must send another missionary to Brazil." And it named that missionary. And the church in Brazil continues to celebrate anniversaries now as well. That is the joy of the Lord. The people of America during the Civil War were certainly not happy. I'm sure they felt persecuted on every side. How insane was it to send our resources to foreign lands when our country is literally being burned down around us? That's the joy of the Lord. The people whose flags are represented here this morning were persecuted, are persecuted as well. And we count ourselves and we count them blessed to be with them. Together we are right with God. This is our blessing. This is the joy of the Lord. The Presbyterian Church of the Confederacy could have closed in on itself and felt sorry for itself. Presbyterian Church of the North could have focused solely on their travail, but they had to share the joy of the Lord. Christian people who are right with God can stand up with God. Christian people all over the world, we can stand tall, and we have the strength of 10 plus 2. For we have the joy of the Lord. Happy comes and goes with circumstances. Joy is the blessedness of God forever. Be joyful. Be joyful. Don't worry about being happy. Christians, you aren't expected to be happy all the time. That's not real. That's not human. We don't always smile, but we are joyful.